wisest king that ever lived, the wise Solomon, after he lived a glorious life, a life of wisdom, a life of fame, a life of wealth, a life with 300 wives and 700 concubines, he summed up his entire life in the book of Ecclesiastes. And after he experienced everything, he summed it up with a few words. And he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter about men. The only thing that matters in men's brief lifespan. He says, the only thing that matters is fear God and keep all his commandments. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. In other words, the entire purpose, the wise Solomon looks as the entire purpose of man's life. For a man to be successful in this life, he says everything else is vanity. Everything is vanity. One thing matters, fear God and keep his commandments. And one of the subjects that is often very misunderstood is the fear of God. Because many, many years ago, the people of the cloth, not of the Orthodox Church, primarily of the Anglican Church, they wanted to eliminate fear because it is better to stress love, because fear kind of pushes people away. Let's not talk about the fear of God. Let's talk about the love of God. But that is a misunderstanding, because the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. That's what the wise Solomon teaches in Proverbs, in the first chapter of the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And what kind of wisdom? In the Greek thought, wisdom was something intellectual, intelligence, to be wise in this world. But in the Hebrew mindset, wisdom is not intellectual knowledge, but empirical and practical virtue or sanctification. So to interpret this verse of Proverbs properly, we would say the fear of the Lord is the beginning of holiness, the beginning of true wisdom, which is holiness. And in the wisdom books of Solomon and also wisdom of Sirach, the term wisdom takes another dimension, because the second person of the Holy Trinity is called the wisdom of God. That is another name of Christ, the wisdom of God. The church that we have in Constantinople, the wisdom of God is Christ, the hypostatic wisdom of God. So the fear of God provides the initial knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. So what is the fear of God? Let's not think, you know, to tremble and panic and be afraid of God. That's not what it means. The first feeling, the beginning sense of the presence of God. So the fear of God is the foundation of piety, the foundation of holiness. St. Peter of Damascus, one of the church fathers, says, faith gives birth to fear. It is the first sense, the first realization of the presence of God. And a sinful soul, a soul that has aged in sin, you know, and we see this so many times, a soul that has aged in sin, and at that special miraculous moment when the grace of God touches that soul, all of a sudden that soul is overcome with fear, What must I do? I must find out about God. If God exists, I have to know about him. It's the fear. A very, very, very important moment in the life of every person. And St. John of Karpathos says, nothing else renews a soul aged with sin. Nothing else prepares it to approach God as much as the fear of God. And we have a classic example of this. Dr. Phillips, why'd you do this? Now, why don't you just come here and see? Why don't you continue? Now I am speechless. A doctor from our theological school that taught Father Nicholas and a lot of our professors, and now I'm going to sit here and teach. not of what you meant. So St. John of Karpathos says, nothing else renews a soul aged with sin and prepares it to approach God as much as the fear of God. And we have a classic example of this fear of God, the fear on the cross with the two thieves. A lot of people, without carefully reading the gospel, you always seem to only blame the thief on the left who was blaspheming Christ. But initially, they were both blaspheming Christ. Both of them were actually mocking him. If you are the Son of God, come on down from the cross. Save us. Do something. But halfway through that time on the cross, the one thief saw something on the cross. At the time of Christ's agony, he saw something that the Pharisees could not see while he was healing people. While he was healing the paralytics, the Pharisees could not see. While he was resurrecting Lazarus, the Pharisees could not see. But because of the fear of the Lord now and the grace that touched the one thief, now the one thief becomes Theoptis. He has a holy vision of the divinity, the grace of God. He sees the Logos on the cross. And he says, Lord, remember me in your kingdom. Remember me in your kingdom. Now here is a person on the cross who's dying. And all of a sudden, the soul of the thief is touched with the fear of God. And he turns to the other one and says, aren't you afraid of God? We deserve what we're getting, but he's innocent. So the thief, because of the fear of God, becomes a theologian. He becomes a theologian because he saw what the Pharisees and the teachers of the law and the religious people could not see for 3 years with Christ. And he sees it when he's touched by the fear of God. He saw a vision of godliness. And every theologian must set off with the foundation of the fear of God. And as this fear increases, the overall sense of God increases. So these two, the sense of God and the feeling of God, increases as the fear of God increases. St. Gregory, and we're using some of the fathers of the Philokalia, St. Gregory of Sinai distinguishes three different phases in the fear of God. We have the elementary fear, the introductory fear, the prison guard in Philippi. You know, after the earthquake took place and Barnabas and I believe St. Paul are freed and the doors bust wide open. And now the prison guard takes the sword and is ready to commit suicide, because that's what they would do. They would kill him anyway. In the Roman army, if you lost a prisoner, you were dead. So he's ready to commit suicide, and St. Paul says, do not harm yourself. And all of a sudden, this prisoner, this idolater, is overcome by the fear of God, and he says, what must I do to be saved? What must I do? What must I do? I need to know the truth. I need to be saved. This is the elementary or the introductory fear of God. And we had a great example of this. I mentioned it a few weeks ago. Late 1800s, I believe, about an Elias Panagoulakis. He was a criminal, just about. He had a tavern somewhere in Patras, I believe. And, all his friends were derelicts, basically. And he was so gruesome and just wild that he would beat up anybody immediately. You know, they had this basement of a bar, and he had a guitar. And at some point, he was about 30 years old, and one of his friends passed away. Elias Panagoulakis, about 30 years old. And for the first time in a long time, he sets foot in the church. And he watches the entire funeral service, and somewhere he heard about eternal life and the other life. And the fear of God overshadows him. All of a sudden, he's trembling. And he goes out to the council members and he asks, brothers, help me. I heard in there that there is other life. I'm asking you, is there such a thing? Is there such a thing? And the elders, not the elders, the council members, the epitropi, who were pious people, they said, yes, indeed, there is hell. There is other life. And he started to tremble, and immediately he went and found this criminal. He went and found a confessor. He found a confessor, Elias Panagoulakis. And he became the epitome of repentance in that region. He stopped eating Wednesdays and Fridays, no food at all. He went and found a skeleton somewhere, and he hanged it outside of this abandoned cell outside of Patras. He reached such a degree of repentance that many, many people began to approach him, and he began to preach. People like Papasarandopoulos, the great missionary of Africa, people like Epiphanius Theodoropoulos, and many others became his pupils. His sermons were so deep and so attractive that a lot of the soldiers that would go there, they would refuse to eat. They wanted to fast after they went back to the army, and a lot of the lieutenants would not allow the soldiers to go there because they had trouble feeding them. But he reached such a great state of repentance that he even became clairvoyant. Miraculous. So this is the introductory fear of the Lord. So we have three phases. The first fear is, what must I do? I need to be saved. We also have the perfect fear. The perfect fear. And this fear is the fear of those who are perfected in holiness. And they are afraid not to lose their spiritual assets. They're afraid. They're very watchful because they don't want to lose the love of God. That's where St. Paul says, with fear and trembling, work out your salvation. With fear and trembling, work out your salvation. It's interesting how a lot of the Pentecostals and Protestants, Wayne, and a lot of the other people, the other denominations, they somehow do not see these scriptures. They do not see them at all. You know, because they like to believe what they want to believe. Once saved, always saved. How? Once saved, always saved? No, that is heretical. It does not hold. St. Paul says, with fear and trembling, work out your salvation. Fear. Why fear? Can I lose God? There's nothing easier. Can we lose God? Very easily. Very easily. There's nothing easier. Yes, we can lose paradise. We can lose God. Eve lost paradise because she sinned. And if we continue to sin and do not repent, we can lose paradise. So we have the elementary fear, we have the perfect fear, and we also have the fear of God's wrath. The fear of hell. The fear of hell. St. John says, perfect love casts out fear. The one who has perfect love about God is not afraid of the fear of the wrath of God. So the fear of wrath is casted out from perfect love. So perfect love equals to perfect fear. When St. Anthony says, I no longer fear God, but I love him. In other words, I'm not afraid of hell because I have reached perfect love. However, I have perfect fear. He maintained perfect fear. How? When the devil was telling St. Anthony, St. Anthony, look, you're a saint. You already earned paradise. You don't have to worry about a thing. Not so, Satan. You know, when his soul was raising, ready to go to paradise, Satan tells St. Anthony, you escaped from me. Not yet. Not until I put both of my feet in paradise. Which means St. Anthony, to the last breath of his life, maintained the perfect fear of God, even though he was not afraid of the fear of God's wrath. You see. So we have these three fears, the three fears, the perfect fear, the elementary fear, and the fear of hell. And fear is the foundation of all virtues. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. It is a gift of the Holy Spirit. In Isaiah prophesies about the root of Jesse. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Here, Isaiah is prophesying about the messianic work of Christ, actually the human nature of Christ, And Isaiah says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit, he talks about seven spirits, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, might, knowledge, piety, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Now, and this is not just for Christ, but all of us Christians, followers of Christ, but in our case, for Christ, that was the last spirit. For us, it is the first. For us, what are these seven spirits? That they're the different gifts of the one Holy Spirit. We have one Holy Spirit. The Spirit is not divided, but the gifts are divided. Okay? We have different gifts of the one Holy Spirit. Again, it's the foundation to receive the other gifts of the Holy Spirit. In Greek, when we call someone atheophobos, there couldn't be a worse characteristic for a Christian. Atheophobos means God-fearless, someone who is not afraid of God at all. Not at all. And, you know, this is not This is not to someone's credit. It is the worst characteristic of a human being. Because the fear of God is fertile. Gonimopios. It is productive. It makes the soul fertile. It makes the earth good. To become good earth, to be able to fertilize and increase the other gifts of the Holy Spirit. So again, let's not think that the fear of God makes someone tremble and, trying to hide from God. That is not the case. The fear of God gives a deep and immense sense of rejoicing. Rejoicing. St. Gregory of Sinai says, divine fear, the fear of God, does not terrify, but it is rather an awesome exhilaration. It is a fearful rejoicing. It's delight mixed with trembling. I'll give you an example now that Dr. Phillips is here. When, let's say, Dr. Phillips did his doctoral dissertation and he passed and it was approved, he was very excited, very happy. But at the same time, fearful, fearful. This is a great responsibility. This is a super responsibility. He has this degree. Now he's going to be teaching priests and theologians. You know, this makes us tremble. But at the same time, we have joy because we succeeded in the matter. It's a calling. The same thing about the priesthood. The priesthood. When we are given the blessing to become a priest or a deacon, there's joy there. But at the same time, it's mixed with fear. With fear. This is not an easy task. And that's why during ordination, there's a towel put around the deacon or the priest. And that symbolizes many things. But at the same time, it's very helpful. So the deacon or the priest during ordination, you know, will concentrate and not be able to see, you know, all the congregation. It's very helpful to have that towel. Again, it has many other symbolic meanings. This is the fear of God. It's delight mixed with trembling. In the 18th Psalm, we read, the fear of the Lord is pure. The fear of the Lord is pure. It becomes purifying. O phobos tou Kyrios agnos. Agnos, pure. It purifies the soul and the body. St. Maximus the Confessor says that fear itself is instilled in a person by the hypostatic wisdom, by Christ himself, the second person of the Holy Trinity. Fear itself is instilled by the hypostatic wisdom. It enters a person from the beginning. In the beginning, God places this fear in every human being and desire. And on this axis of fear and desire, the axis of piety revolves. We need both fear and desire. The one repels, pushes away. The other attracts. The fear will push away sin. It'll push away sin. It'll push away evil. No, I don't want this. No, I don't care if you are Potiphar's wife and you're my mistress and I am your servant. But no, I can't do what you're asking me because God is watching me. When Joseph, at the age of 18, 19, without the law of Moses, without parents around, without relatives, without a church, all by himself, he kept one thing that saved him. The fear of the Lord. The presence of God. There's no way I can do this. How can I do this evil thing in front of my God? He kept the presence of God in front of him. So the fear will repel evil and sin, while desire, the holy desire, will attract the desire to want to find knowledge about the truth. the desire to want to draw near to God, the desire to want to be saved, the desire to want to come to services during Holy Lent. This is a holy desire. So we have fear and desire. We fear sin and the devil and his co-workers, and we desire holiness. In 2 Corinthians, St. Paul says, work out holiness in the fear of God. Not in the knowledge of God. Not in the love of God. In the fear of God. In the fear of God. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. How do we cleanse ourselves? By having the fear of God that pushes away sin. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In other words, to become holier, to perfect holiness, we have to do it in the space, inside the area of the fear of God. When the fear of God evaporates, then the faithful must know very well that he will be emptied of all virtues very, very soon. Evil will enter. And we saw this with Adam and Eve. Adam lost the fear of God. He lost the fear of God. And Eve lost the fear of Adam. Adam lost the fear of God, and Eve lost the fear of Adam. What was the fear? What was the pure fear that God instilled inside Adam? If you eat, you will die. If you eat, you will die. If you sin, you separate yourself from God. The wages of sin is death. But you see, when we push that fear away, the devil comes, it's okay. God is merciful. He'll forgive you. He forgave so many other people. Go ahead and do it now. He'll forgive you. This is the expulsion of the fear of God. When we lose this fear, then all of a sudden our defenses go down, the demons come in. That's what happened to Adam. And the church father says that Adam was apsikoris, another Greek word that we can't translate very well, but we'll use the word fickle, superficial. He was satiated from paradise. So he proved to be epidermic. Now we cannot be open-minded. Well, you know, today we want to be open-minded. Let's be open-minded. Let's talk to the Protestants. Let's talk to the Jehovah's. Let's talk to everybody. Let's be open-minded. We cannot be open-minded in the matters of truth, especially if we don't know the truth very well ourselves. Yeah, Eve was open-minded with the wrong person. She was open-minded, all right. He did her in. And now, because Adam lost the true fear of God, because he lost the fear of God, now another fear comes in. The fear that most people have today. If we don't have the fear of God, then we will have the fear of the demons. We will have phobias. And this is the phobia of Adam. Now watch the phobia. I heard the noise of your feet walking in paradise, and I was scared. I was afraid. I was naked. This is not the fear of God. This is not the fear of God. This is an allotrios, another fear. The fear of God was now expelled by the action of Adam. So another fear entered, the demonic fear. And from that point on, man began to fear. Fear things that he should not fear. And all these things, bodily pleasure, sadness and depression, desire, evil desire, and fear, these were not created by God. These are consequential of the fall. And this ungodly fear is a destructive fear, which means the presence of the devil creates this fear. People today are so much afraid of everything, black magic. I have a friend of mine who I've been talking to about the church for many years. He's baptized Orthodox, but he hasn't stepped in his church for many, many years. And in the last 5-6 months, things are happening in his life, and somehow he thinks that they did some voodoo in him back in another country. And he's petrified. He's calling me. He wants us to go have a priest and do some kind of a service. But I said, you don't believe. You have to believe first. He's afraid. He's afraid that somebody did some kind of magic on him.